With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. We're on from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell Show on demand on the iHeart app. And Moist line is 877-MOIST-86, 877-664-7886, or use the TalkBack feature on the iHeart app. And now we're going to talk to John McKinney. He ran for deputy DA, and he was one of the two candidates that we endorsed. But he did not make the runoff. Gascon and Nathan Hochman did, and McKinney is throwing his support behind Nathan Hochman. So is Maria Ramirez, and she is another deputy DA who ran against Gascon. And McKinney and Ramirez both got their share of votes. Excuse me, but not enough to get to the runoff. Anyway, today they had a press conference, and McKinney and Ramirez said they're going with Hochman. Let's get John McKinney on now. John.
Hey, good afternoon, John.
Hey, good to have you on again. Thank you for making some time for us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me back.
Tell me, what went into your decision to come out publicly and support Nathan Hochman for DA against Gascon?
Well, first of all, I was honored to stand next to my colleague, Maria Ramirez. The two of us were the two most senior veteran DAs in the DA's office who ran for DA. And today we stood with Nathan Hochman and offered our support for his race for DA. And what went into it for me was really coming to terms with who the current DA is, the policies that he's implemented, his value system. And I, it's not something, a decision that I made automatically. I did meet with Mr. Gascon after the primary election. He was gracious with his time. He sat with me for a couple hours, a little longer than a couple hours. And to his credit, he answered all of my questions. You know, I got to look into his eyes and hear his explanations for what he's been doing.
This is after the primary?
After the primary, huh. Yes. And what I was looking for is whether or not he's learned anything over the last 4 years, whether he listened and learned anything during the primary campaign, whether there was some possibility that he might moderate some of the policies. I also met with Nathan Hochman, who was also gracious with his time, and I got to ask him questions about his vision for the DA's office. So it wasn't just everything that I knew going into the election. It's what I learned after the election that convinced me that Nathan Hochman presents the best candidate for the future of Los Angeles.
It's fascinating that you took the time to talk with Gascon at length and that he gave you that time as well. I mean, obviously, he needs to improve upon his 25%. His approval rating is terrible. Did it seem like the experience of only getting 25% as an incumbent had any effect on the way he thinks?
Yeah, you know, without getting into the specifics of the conversation, I will say that he didn't seem humbled by the outcome at all. In fact, I think he felt encouraged by it for some reason. I didn't get any sense from him, not even a little bit, that he thought that he needed to reconsider any of the positions that he stands on today. And, you know, without him willing to make some compromises, and I mean some very serious and dramatic compromises, there was no way that I could support him.
And sitting down with Nathan Hochman, I imagine mostly you found yourself in agreement, or did you have any further discussion about where you guys might be in different camps on some matters?
No, you know, during the campaign, if you look at the 11 candidates who ran against Gascon, well, there were a couple that weren't quite serious candidates.
Right.
But most of the candidates sort of took a position somewhere between the center and the right of the spectrum. I don't think there was a whole lot of daylight, really, between many of the challengers. Some were, you know, a little bit to the left of center, some a little more to the right of center. To me, Nathan Hochman is a centrist. He's a moderate, you know, whether he was a Democrat in the past, and I think he was a Democrat in the past longer than Gascon was a Democrat, and he was a Republican in the past. But I think we need to throw those designations, those labels out, and look at who the person is and what their values are. He's a moderate guy. He's a centrist. I thought that, but in meeting with him after the election, that was confirmed for me. And it helped me arrive at the position I am today in supporting him to be the next district attorney.
Yeah, I would think people have to look at the policies that these guys promote and not put a political label on it that preempts your thinking. You have to sit and listen to what they say they're going to do. Because, I mean, Gascon has done what he said he was going to do. I think Hochman is very sincere in what he wants. So you have to pay attention to what they say and what they've done in their careers, the two of them.
No, absolutely. And, you know, to me, this race is going to boil down to whether or not Gascon can define Hochman as somebody who scares voters. Gascon's not going to spend any time talking about his own record, his own background, his own training and experience, because it's virtually non-existent. His track record as DA has been bad. Even the people who voted for him, you know, did so with some trepidation. So he's not going to talk about any of that. In this race coming up, he's just going to try to vilify Nathan Hochman. And Nathan Hochman's job is to get out in the community, and I mean all of our communities, and introduce himself and allow people to get to know him for who he is. He's a good guy. He has an outstanding education. He's did a lot of public service over the course of his life. And he's eminently qualified for the job of Los Angeles County District Attorney. And when people see that and when they hear him speak and speak from the heart, I think that they're going to like him. They're not going to care about these political labels that we throw around. And I told Nathan, when it comes to the people who supported me, it's going to be very important that he lean into proportional justice, that is balanced outcomes, unique outcomes for each case and each person, no blanket policies. And he has embraced that. He embraced that during the campaign even. I talked to him about what was a fundamental part of my campaign, which was crime prevention, youth education, and mentorship. And he was talking about that today, this afternoon. So I think that's part of his vision also for the future. Public activation, John. The public wants to feel like they're part of the system, especially in our minority communities. They get ignored all the time. They get used all the time. They're being used by Gascon. He pays lip service to their struggles. but he does really nothing to help the quality of life that they're experiencing. And I told Nathan, if you're going to be successful, you've got to lean into those communities in a sincere way and let them know that they're going to have a seat at the table. You're going to see them and you're going to hear them and you're going to take them seriously. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who has an idea is going to get their idea implemented, but there are some good ideas out there in the community, and the DA's office needs to be connected to that.
If there are supporters of yours listening, and because I know we heard from some people who were supporting various candidates who ran against Gascon and lost, and you know, understandably, they're upset. What do you tell them? How do you tell them to now? It's time to vote for Nathan Hochman. What are you saying to them? They were all in on you, or all in maybe on, you know, John Hatami or Maria Ramirez. They were all in on somebody else, and now they've got to switch gears. How do you tell them to trust Nathan Hochman that you guys are pretty much in the same camp overall?
Well, I tell my supporters, you know, we fought the good fight. We stood on principle. We didn't change our position for the sake of public opinion. Some of the positions I held, I knew were not going to be very popular countywide, but it's what I believed. And I think people appreciate sincerity and authenticity above all else. So they're willing to forgive you if they don't agree with you on everything. But what I said to my supporters is, this is now a binary choice. You know, we fought the good fight. We didn't win. We would rather have had my name on the podium today, but it wasn't. So now we have to be adults and make a decision that's good for Los Angeles County. What is appropriate for the greater good of the county? Let's unify. Let's come together for a change behind something that's good. And what we need now more than ever is change. People should make no mistake about this fact. George Gascon is the status quo candidate. If you like the way things are going, if you love this increase in violent crime and property crime, if you like this sense of fear, this general sense of being uncomfortable as you move around the county, if that's what you, if you think it's fine, then, you know, we know you're going to vote for Mr. Gascon. But if you know we can do better, and you know we have to do better, then Nathan Hochman is the change candidate. And he is as moderate and balanced of a candidate that I've heard in local politics here in Los Angeles in a long time.
Well, John, thank you very much for coming on. And we'll talk again soon. Anytime you want to talk about the race or talk about Hochman or Gascon, please, you always have a home here. I've really enjoyed speaking.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
We announced our endorsements today in Compton. And I told Nathan Hochman, and Maria agreed, that we wanted to do this in a community that really needs protection. They need attention. They need support. And while we could have done this in the Pacific Palisades or Beverly Hills, we went to Compton. We went to Ruben's Bakery, which, you know, was the site of that horrific smash and grab where they drove the car through the bakery. Yeah, we went specifically there to make these endorsements, because it's important that the communities like Compton get to know who Nathan Hochman is. And that's the support he has to win. He has to earn that. And so I think he got off to a good start today.
All right. Well, that's what everybody's hoping for. And John, thanks again for coming on with us.
All right. Thank you, John.
All right. John McKinney, Deputy DA. And it's fascinating, huh? Spent 2 hours with Gascon and quite some time with Nathan Hochman as well before coming out with the endorsement today. He and Maria Ramirez, another prosecutor who ran against Gascon. They didn't get into the runoff. Nathan Hochman did, and they're both supporting Hochman. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 3:30. Victor Davis Hanson, one of my all-time favorite political and news writers, he wrote a piece that they published in Fox News, and 11 ways, the title is 11 ways Biden and his handlers are hell-bent on destroying America, and which sounds like hyperbole, right? Well, I read each one of them, just the headlines alone, and you have to stop and say, okay, is this true or not true? And we can play this game at home, and I'll read all 11. And it's like, let's say you were planning to ruin America. Would you do the following 11 things? Would you have the power to do the following 11 things? So that'll be the game that we'll play coming up after 3:30. George Kelton has been writing for the LA Times since the early 1960s. No kidding. I mean, he's like 84 years old, 85 years old. You can't even keep track anymore. He's so old. Older than Joe Biden, put it that way. And he writes things, and, he's like an old school liberal guy. And I read this stuff, and, you can tell kind of when the El Segundo Times is purposely lying. They're publishing propaganda that objectively the stuff that they're printing is false, but they have some sort of ideology that they're emotionally invested in. And then you wonder about the stuff they omit. And is a guy like George Skelton just doesn't see it anymore, doesn't understand it because, I don't know, maybe he doesn't know people who live daily life in California and have to deal with the daily struggle. I don't know. But he writes a piece today about why Californians are fleeing this once golden state. And what's fascinating, it's been this way for a number of years. And the columnists and the editorial writers at the El Segundo Times simply denied it, or they downplayed it. And they downplayed it with a lot of statistical sleight of hand, right? And finally, he had to admit that the Census Bureau reported last month that California's population had dropped below 39 million. And when people used to think that we were going to hit 45 million by 2020 and 60 million by 2040, they thought California was going to continue to explode. I remember Jerry Brown preaching about that. That's why he was always in apocalyptic mode. And I always wondered, it's like, well, where are they going to go? Because I know in LA and Orange County, there's very little space left to go. And they have zoned out a lot of development in the open spaces east of L.A. and Orange County. So I didn't understand these constant predictions. You know, they weren't going to build any more freeways. They were closing schools. I didn't understand. Well, he finally admits that people have been fleeing California, and the exodus accelerated on Gavin Newsom's watch. Well, not only his watch, but his decisions. And he starts going into what are the reasons why. And it's, he says, well, it's the cost of living. It's the price of housing. There's nowhere to develop anymore. You'd have to start building more apartment complexes, what they call infill, right? You can't spread the growth out. Well, you could, but they don't want to. And putting apartment buildings in single family home neighborhoods is going to cause more people to flee because nobody wants that. What he's missing is, while he says people don't want to pay the cost of living here, there's two kinds of people. There's people who really can't afford it. They don't have the dollars available to live here. And then there are people who decide it's not worth it. And why is it not worth it? And it's because in LA County, for example, the out of control crime makes them unhappy. And they're willing to pay the taxes very begrudgingly, but they'll do it. Except what do they get for it? Like what John McKinney said a few minutes ago, you walk around and you're on edge and you're fearful and it hits you. It's like, why am I paying for this? Why am I paying the high mortgage or the high rent and the high taxes for this? And it's the crime and it's the homelessness. Same question. I've had it. I'm driving around and I'm paying this kind of mortgage, I'm paying these kind of taxes for this every day? Crazy people that I'm terrified are going to smash my windshield while in the midst of some psychotic rage while I'm stopped at a light? People who unleash all their bowel movements onto the ground in front of me? This is what I'm paying for? And he doesn't mention any of that. He doesn't mention the two things that everybody I know talks about constantly. And whenever the subject comes up, are you going to stay? Are you going to move? It comes up in the context of all the crime, the fear that comes with the crime, and the homelessness and the insanity. But for George Skelton, it's all just about numbers. It's not about numbers. It's about the day-to-day life. It's stuff that simply doesn't go on in most places in this country. And in fact, in most places around the world, you don't have situations like this. I mean, there's a few other cities whose leaders are so stupidly progressive that they've created a hellhole. But I'm amazed how people walk around in their bubbles. And when you have the only newspaper in the region, everybody's either in the bubble or they have emotionally thrown themselves into this progressive religion, and they can't function anymore. They certainly can't write accurately about what's going on. They're certainly way out of touch. Now, when we come back on a larger scale, same thing. Victor Davis Hanson sees it. He's got the vision, and he wrote a piece for Fox News, 11 ways that Biden and his handlers are hell-bent on destroying America, which means these are 11 things that the Biden administration has implemented. And we'll go through them quickly, and you ask yourself, if you wanted to ruin the country on purpose, this is what you do. More coming up.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up, the UCLA Medical School had the most bizarre lecture I can ever imagine reading about. You're not going to believe it, but they had a lecturer demand that students get on their knees, touch the floor, and engage in a particular prayer. And there was one student that didn't do it. And you'll hear about the reaction to that. It is really, really bizarre. I don't know what's going on at UCLA. We'll get to that. Okay, so one of my favorite writers, Victor Davis Hanson, and we've had him on the show a number of times, he writes very clearly and directly. And he wrote about the 11 ways that Biden and his handlers are hell-bent on destroying America. And that sounds like, you know, political hyperbole, right? But it's actually not very long. It goes maybe three pages total, the writing. I'll quickly summarize it. And the key to this is you hear each of these 11 out loud and you ask yourself, if you wanted to do heavy damage to a country, what would you do differently? Remember, these are the things that the Biden administration is doing on purpose. And you have to wonder the motivation. Many times we've said, why are they doing this? It's not only destructive, but it's really unpopular. It's not good for their political futures. Well, what if the point of this is, especially among the administration staffers, is to actually ruin the place? Let me go through the 11. You can play along at home. Number one, wipe out a 2,000-mile border. This is what the administration has done. They've wiped out a 2,000-mile border and allowed 10 million foreign nationals to enter unlawfully. With no audit, all federal immigration laws have been nullified. Let in toxic drugs that kill 100,000 Americans a year. Give free support to millions who broke the law. And smear any objectors as racists and xenophobes. They're doing all this. What would you do differently? If you wanted to ruin the country, what would you do differently? No, you'd wipe out the border. You'd let in 10 million people. You'd let in all the fentanyl that's killing 100,000 Americans. And anybody who objects, you call them all kinds of horrible names, make them run away. Here's number two, run up $35 trillion in national debt and add a trillion each 100 days. Number three, appease or subsidize enemies like Iran and China and demonize allies like Israel. Number four, in a multiracial democracy, redefine identity as one's only as one's tribal affiliation. Ensure each identity group rivals the other for victimhood and competes for government money. Recalibrate violent crime as understandable cry of the heart expressions of social justice. That's been done here in Los Angeles, certainly, and in California. It's not violent crime. It's not evil. It's not psychotic behavior. It's a cry of the heart because of all the social injustice. They've actually done all this. Let me skip a couple here. Oh, make war on affordable gasoline and natural gas. Instead, substitute inefficient, unreliable, and expensive wind and solar power, even as energy prices nearly bankrupt the middle class. Encourage the fusion of the bureaucratic state with the electronic media to form a powerful force for political surveillance, censorship, and coercion. Yeah, that's the federal government getting in bed with all the social media companies. Turn world-class universities into indoctrination centers. Suspend the Bill of Rights on campuses. Train youth to graduate despising their own culture and civilization. Recruit foreign students from hostile nations to subsidize campus bloat, all those administrators. Replace the curriculum with therapeutic propaganda. Ban the SAT. Do not evaluate high school GPAs. Ensure merit does not select the student body. That's what's all been done here. And it's all been done very quickly. It's quite radical. But you've seen a sea change in the way people think and the way they behave in just a few short years. It just all happened at once. Doesn't make you wonder, why did it all happen at once? How did it all happen at once? When we come back, a manifestation of this is what's going on at UCLA. The UCLA Medical School required students to attend a lecture where the speaker made everybody get on their knees and pray to Mama Earth. And you weren't allowed not to kneel. If you stayed seated, somebody got upset. Talk more about it. We come back. Conway coming up in minutes. You're not going to believe this. Listen to this. UCLA Medical School. We are... educating doctors here at UCLA Medical School. They had a woman named Lisa Gray hyphen Garcia. Lisa Gray Garcia. Apparently has the nickname Tiny. She's a whack job who has called the terrorist attacks on Israel justice. On March 27th, she began the class by leading students in what she described as a non-secular prayer to the ancestors. And she ordered everybody to get on their knees and touch the floor. Touch Mama Earth, she said, with their fists. Half the students complied. Can you imagine being in college and a nut job is telling you to get on your knees and touch Mama Earth? Gray Garcia is an activist who was invited to speak about housing injustice. She started thanking Native tribes for preserving what the settlers call L.A. And she reminded students of the city's herstory, her story. The prayer included a benediction for black, brown, and houseless people who die because of the capitalist lie of private property. Gray Garcia said Mama Earth was never meant to be bought, sold, pimped, or played. The students continued kneeling. Boy, they are obedient, aren't they? And that began a loony lecture. She was wearing a keffiyeh. Is that how you say that? In one of those headscarves that covered her entire face. She calls herself a poverty scholar. She led the class in chants of free, free Palestine. Faculty and staff looked on in silence. Oh, my God. How fearful everybody is. Gray Garcia later referred to modern medicine as white science. And invade against the occupation of Turtle Island. That's what she calls the United States. Then she asked students to stand for a second prayer. Nearly everyone rose, but one student remained seated. One student. And a UCLA administrator immediately asked about the student's identity, implying that discipline could be on the table. So they had an enforcer there, a UCLA administrator, enforcing that people kneel and stand for the prayer. A Jewish student group said the net effect was that UCLA intimidated first-year medical students into participating in a religious service in derogation of their own personal beliefs. UCLA did not comment, neither did Gray Garcia. The class is structural racism and health equity class. Oh, my God. And there's been a string of these situations going on. I thought they're supposed to teach doctors how to diagnose sick people and how to operate on sick people. What is this? This is insanity. UCLA. It's infected everywhere. We got...
I looked in the sun.
Conway wearing his...
These are glasses I got to wear for 3 days.
did you burn your eyes out?
I did. As a matter of fact, I can't read that. Can you read what's on tonight's show? I don't know if I normally do this. I can't read that.
Okay. You're going to have Dr. Edwin Krupp on?
Oh, from Mexico.
Griffith Observatory, yes.
Oh, that's great.
David Lazarus.
Wow.
Money guy for Channel 5.
Oh, yeah. You know what he's going to talk about? 35% of the 24-hour businesses in Los Angeles have closed down since the pandemic.
Ah.
But and there's a big Walmart lawsuit.
You know so much you don't really need to have eyesight to read anymore.
That's probably right.
Search results for why do my eyes hurt have exploded after the eclipse.
I looked at the sun and then I went to my doctor and he said, you got to wear these glasses for 3 days. I can't see anything. I ignored all the warnings.
You did. You didn't hear any of them? I
played all of them on this station, and I ignored them all.
Those are cool-looking glasses.
Thank you very much. They're called grandmother's corrective glasses.
Yes, you see really, really old people wearing
Right, because they get their eyes dilated.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, no, you look like you belong in a waiting room.
a compliment.
All right. Conway.
All right. Ding dong.
Coming up next, Carosha's got the news live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a one-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.